Well, God bless everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. It's always such a joy and a privilege to be in fellowship with you, even though I can't see your faces. I can see your faces, and it's just such a privilege. I thank God that He gave us a word that we can always rally around, that we can always enjoy together. And also, like Barney mentioned, that day is coming that we'll all be together forever, and what a glorious day that will be. And so tonight I'd like to share the word on something that, Bob kind of touched on it last night, and it's been the theme that he has set for the year 2022, that this is the year that we take a stand. And it's kind of funny how God brought me to the place of showing me just what He wanted me to share tonight, and we'll see how well I'm able to communicate the thought that I had. But this morning in my email, I had an item that was sent to me from Wikipedia. And at the end of each year, they send something to donors as a way of saying thank you. And I like to contribute something to Wikipedia every year because sometimes they have very, very useful information that I like to use. And so this year they sent the link to a slideshow of photographs that people had sent in. Now, these photographs were of monuments from all over the world. And these were awe-inspiring monuments. I mean, we're talking bridges, massive bridges, and ancient castles and towers, cathedrals, museums, mosques and monasteries. There were forts and windmills and railways and caves and burial vaults and gardens, lighthouses. I mean, it went on and on. There had to have been at least 100 photographs. And I couldn't believe I was sitting there just clicking through them all because each one was more fantastic than the one before. And the structures were absolutely amazing, considering that many of them had stood for centuries and some even for millennia. Their constructions represented millions, billions, even trillions of pieces of steel and bricks and man hours and blood, sweat, and tears. And many probably lost their lives in the construction and building of some of these monuments. In the world, a monument is a type of structure that was explicitly erected to commemorate a person or event or some aspect of cultural heritage. Many of them are dedicated to a god or a religion or an ideology. How is it that these man-made structures have stood for so long? Why do people spend thousands of dollars to travel to sometimes obscure places to see some of these astounding monuments? As I pondered these questions, I thought of the theme that Bob had designated for 2022, Take a Stand. And that's where this teaching was born. These monuments that I saw pictures of were constructed one piece at a time by hundreds or thousands of workmen, laboring diligently for months or years until the structure was complete. We, as children of the Most High, are instructed to stand in perhaps a different sense, but in a way, there are many similarities. The word to stand in the New Testament is the Greek word histemi, and it has several meanings, and here are just a few. It means to cause or to make to stand, to place, to put, or set. It means to make firm or fix or establish, to cause a person or a thing to keep his place or its place. It means to stand to be kept intact as of a family or a kingdom. It means to escape in safety. It means to uphold or sustain the authority or force of anything. It's to set or place in a balance. It's to stand by or near. It's to stop or to stand still, to stand immovable and stand firm. And it can also mean to continue safe and sound, to stand unharmed, to stand ready or prepared, to be of a steadfast mind, a mind that does not waver. This word is used 158 times in the New Testament and 577 times in the Septuagint. So it was used in God's Word in both the Old and New Testament quite frequently. Obviously, it would be impossible to look at all the different ways the word is used in the time we have tonight, but I don't believe that it's necessary to do in order for us to get a clear picture of what it means to stand. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at various records in the Word where the word to stand is used, but we're going to look at the context around which that word to stand means, and you're going to see various ways that this word is used to give you a concept of what it means to stand. So we'll start in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 14. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him, Jesus Christ, unto you? And they covenanted with him. They stood with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray the Lord." Judas joined forces with the chief priests. That's not the kind of stand that we want to take, to stand against one another, but that is a meaning of to stand. Now, Matthew 27, and verse 11, this is Jesus during his trial, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." Now, here he was on trial, and he stood in spite of the fact that this is not what they wanted to hear from him. Mark chapter 13, verse 9, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought or stood before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." So here, Jesus is telling them that they would be in negative situations, but they were to stand. Luke chapter 18, let's start in verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So this shows us that the mindset that we have when we take a stand is important. We can stand and maintain humility. Luke chapter 24, verse 33. "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon.' And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" John chapter 19, starting in verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." Imagine what it must have been like for her to stand there as her son hung on the cross. John chapter 20, start in verse 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet of where the body of Jesus had lain." What if she had decided to leave too? But she didn't. She stood there even though she didn't understand all that was happening. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to skip down to verse 23, and it says there, "And they appointed two, Joseph and Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias." Here they were selecting the apostle who would take Judas's place. "And they appointed," or they stood with two, "and of those two, they chose Matthias." And in Acts chapter 5, this is the record that we often think of when we hear the phrase, take a stand, where the apostles had been brought before the high priest, and the high priest had told them that they were no longer to speak in the name of the Lord. They threw them in prison. But in verse 20, it says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.'" So they're being sent into a situation that had already caused them much distress, and they're told to go and stand their ground and speak God's word. It also occurs in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was testifying before the high priests and the Jews who were not in favor of hearing what he had to say. And starting in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay or stand not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is a record I don't understand. I still ask God to give me understanding of this record, because here the Lord Jesus was standing and looking at this situation, and yet Stephen was stoned and fell asleep. So there are many, many other records we can look at in the Word, but time just doesn't allow for us to do it. But what I would encourage you to do is to just think about how privileged we are to stand for God and for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's so many more occurrences of stand that you can look up to help you flesh out what it means to take a stand. In different situations, it can mean different things, just like a bridge is different from a castle, but they both stand. Yet, unlike the ancient monuments, we have a much stronger and more lasting foundation, in that we are built upon a firm foundation of which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So long after all of the amazing monuments that I saw in that slideshow have crumbled and fallen into the sea, we will forever stand with our Lord and Savior, because that foundation is sure and eternal. We are built to be the habitation of God through the Spirit, and so we can and we will stand for our God and for our Lord in this life until the Lord's return. We will stand through rain, through snow, through persecution, famine, grief. We will stand through it all, and having done all, we will stand.